It's a good warm.
Okay.
I'm gonna cough a little bit. If you would like to turn with me to 2 Timothy, then maybe the Lord will bless us to see and rejoice in some things and be strengthened in our daily trials. It seemed like his 2 epistle here to Timothy, a lot of people think that it's the last writings that Paul had from prison. I don't know. It would seem the language might at least indicate that. But he covers a lot of things in his writing to Timothy. Had a special good fellowship with Timothy. It had been that way for a long time, and it seemed like he just a lot of times, you know, you'll have people in the church that you're just going to be closer to them than you are others. That's not anything to disclaim, and not anything to be think that something's wrong with that, because you cannot be close to everybody on the same level. It doesn't work that way. But certainly his affection for Timothy was evident in the things that he had said. To me, there's a lot of basic things addressed in his letters to Timothy. And this second one, it seemed like Paul is kind of going back and drawing from some things that had happened that concerned the two of them. And it seems like he's almost addressing these things from his benefit. And I'm learning as we get older, we go back and maybe enjoy some things in a way that we couldn't when they were happening. Probably because of the lack of understanding or knowledge at that particular time. But Paul rejoices greatly. In his letter, it's so obvious that underneath this, that he's remembering the times that him and Timothy, they probably traveled quite a bit. I know they did some. I don't know how much, but at least they were together a lot. And a very special person to the apostle. He keeps bringing up things that he wants Timothy to remember. There's a lot of things that we need to forget, but there's a lot of things that we need to remember. Certainly in times when there's a lot of things that's happening that's unpleasant or discouraging, that we need some things to remember that override these things. And certainly Paul, it would seem by the language, and most people that study the scripture will agree with the conclusion that this is the last letter that the apostle wrote. Certainly it's obvious that it was in the latter part of his life in the latter part of his prison life when he wrote it. In the third verse, I'll begin there. we could begin at the beginning, but we'll try to condense some of the reading some, but not so much as to prevent good thoughts about it. Third verse, first chapter, 2 Timothy. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and then in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Paul is he's just going back and remembering some of the good times they had. You know, a lot of times when things are really, we're kind of down and out and things seem kind of discouraging in a way, it's good just to think back on some of those good things. It's refreshing. And it kind of takes our minds away from some of the present problems that we might have. And we need that. There are times in our lives when we need something special that way. It would seem that this is Paul's time. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Put thee in remembrance. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. It would almost seem that what Paul is conveying to Timothy, that there's some effort that you need to make. And it involves joining yourselves and being part of the affliction of God's people. There's several reasons why that Timothy needed to do that. Certainly to help those that needed the help, but to help him, to put him in a position that he could help. If we isolate ourselves from the problems in our human nature, we don't want any problems. But the scripture, and Paul is telling Timothy, Be with them. Be with them in their problems. Be with them in their rejoicing. But be with them in their suffering. You know, it's wonderful to join together in rejoicing. The Lord himself taught us that one of the greatest things is to be together in our sufferings. Put thee in remembrance. Be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. This is something, there'll be some things that Timothy won't have to make any mindful effort to get involved in. But what he's telling them, get in it. Don't stand back. Don't take the easy and the comfortable way. And certainly Paul could, from a standpoint of his own experience, certainly was in a position to tell him that, you know, if you're really going to get into this business, if you're really going to be what God has called you to do, then it's just not all good and fine and no problems. because there's a lot of things to be learned that can't be learned in such comfortable environment. Gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now this is the point from which Paul is speaking in a way of authority. Paul knows what he's talking about. Many of the things he knows that Timothy is going to be faced with. So he's given him the benefit of some of his own experiences. And it always goes back to this foundation, doesn't it? That's the foundation of all. That was the foundation of Paul's preaching. It was the foundation of his love and his concern for Timothy. And that's the thing that has to be remembered. It's not whether we get the attention we'd like to have. It's not all these things that we enjoy. We enjoy the fellowship of God's people. That's not the reason. But it's because of Him. Always goes back to Him. If it doesn't go back to Him, then it's gone amiss. And Timothy will, and Paul himself needed to be reminded of that, as do you and I. In the 13th verse, he brought some of the basic things now, and some of the things that Timothy, he's going to need to call on. Because Timothy, like you and I, there's going to be times in his life when he's got to go back and get a hold of some of the basic things to reinforce what he believes and what he's doing. So he tells him again, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. What powerful instructions he's given Timothy. And there's all kind of things going on that could have been talked about. We understand this is the inspired word of God, but there were so many things that could have been what they would discuss things about. The form of sound words. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Remember these things. Things in his life that was worthwhile. Things in his life that it was necessary for him to remember. Not only for the sake of keeping him his thoughts right and his feelings right, but to keep him from getting off into areas that he shouldn't be in. Because every time that happens, my friend, we neglect something that should have been on our minds and part of our activities. Paul goes on, and he talks about a very unpleasant situation. He talks about some of the people in the Asian church in that area of turning against him. And he talks about some people who had actively worked against him and contrary to what he'd done to cause the people to turn from him. You know, gossip and that kind of activity has destroyed more joy in the Lord's kingdom than probably any other activity. It's people who rejoice in bad news. Now, if they hear something good, they may mention it, they may not. But let something bad happen. They won't forget that. They won't forget to bring that up in the next conversation. but he's discouraging Timothy from being drawn off into this, and he calls to mind some people that have taken that route and the disaster that followed. He also commends those who were in the opposite position in this letter to Timothy. In the second chapter. You know, quite a few years back, somebody got the bright idea that we needed to break this Bible down into chapters. If we ignore it, there's not a problem. But actually, the scripture was not broken down into chapters. That's obvious when you read. So let's go to the next chapter. Chapter 2. You can tell by the way it starts off that actually it's a continuation of what he's been talking about. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And he goes on and he brings Timothy to be mindful of the things that he's heard Paul preach about, that he's seen Paul do in the churches. Be mindful of these things. He's looking at him as his son. And there is things, my friend, to be learned about preaching. And there's a lot to be learned, and Paul realizes that a lot of things that Timothy, that I can teach you, and you won't have to experience it personally. They say experience is a hard taskmaster, and it is. So he's trying to, I shouldn't use that word. He's not trying to do anything. He's doing what the Lord directs him to do in this testimony. In the second chapter, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, this is to put you in remembrance. And he's going to give him some good instruction in here and going to break it down. Timothy is not, the things that Paul is talking here in this letter, it's not something that's totally new to him, but yet it's something that we never get to that point, my friend, in this world, that we don't need to work more, we need to improve what we know. Now, he didn't talk about these basic fundamental principles of the doctrine that I had just quoted to you a moment ago, because Timothy didn't know that. But all these things that he needs to know and needs to learn and keep in mind is, if it weren't for those basic things, then there wouldn't be any basis for it. Hold fast. Reckon why he needed that instruction. You know, one of the greatest enemies that the church has is that Satan is always trying to redirect our thoughts and our activities away from the truth. And it's a constant battle. And he knows where your weak spot is. And he knows how to work on you. And our only hope is, there's somebody that knows more than he does. There's somebody that not only knows how to deal with him, but there's someone, my friend, who can give you the power to deal with Satan. And he tells him, just don't pay him no attention. Well, that's not easy for us to do, is it? Especially if it's something within us that kind of enjoys it anyway. He's telling Timothy, stay away from these things. These are the things you have to watch for. Don't worry if what somebody's wearing when they come to church. Don't be concerned if they're over here in the woods somewhere with a group of little people that's out of water. Don't worry if they open their service with a song service or a prayer. That's irrelevant. Don't be concerned if the preacher wears a tie or if he got on a pair of overalls. It just really don't matter. Endure hardness. You know, these two ways that needs to be taken. Sometimes it's hard. It is hard. And it's just not just for the preacher. It's hard for the Lord's people. But what about if somebody else is hard? How do we deal with that? We have to. He said, endure it. Just buckle up and endure it. In the 7th verse of that 2nd chapter, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember. See, he said, I'm going to put you in remembrance of things. I'm going to cause you to remember by this testimony. How many times do you reckon that Timothy sat down when things were just looked like they're just coming unraveled and everything wasn't working just like it should, that he sat down and drug out this letter that Paul had wrote to him? Endure, remember, consider. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Friend, if we could remember that. I'm not talking about just being aware that it happened. I'm talking about remembering it with the conviction of what it did. How it would make some of the things that trouble us so much just swivel up and not amount to anything, wasn't it? Remember. Put thee in remembrance. Consider. In the, skip a lot, but I'd like to go to the 4th chapter for a few verses there. Come to the place where Paul begins this chapter. Giving what we call the charge, and I don't guess there's ever been a preacher ordained, but what this one, and that's good. It's a good example. The charge that he gave was in the face of men, in the presence of God. It was an open charge. It wasn't something that happened in the back room with two or three of ecclesiastical something. It was done open in the church. It was personal. He wasn't getting off and presenting some prearranged testimonials to Timothy. He's talking to him as a father talks to a son. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. At his appearing and his kingdom. Now, we understand that there, at the end of time, there's going to be a judgment. I don't think anybody, well, there probably is some, but most people recognize and acknowledge that. What is detrimental is when God's people get the idea that that God don't judge us daily. And at the end of time, we know what that judgment's going to be, so we don't have to worry about it. We ought to rejoice in it, but we ought not to worry about it. But what is concerned, my friend, and sometimes it warrants some worry on our part, is how God judges us in this time. And He will judge in this time. Preach the word. You know, that's what Timothy was called to do. Preach the word. And there will never be sufficient time or effort on the part of any preacher other than Jesus Christ to sufficiently and completely do this. Paul admitted to himself, admitted to us about himself. He said, when I would do good, I find myself doing something wrong. And the things I should take care of, I neglect them, and I'm involved in things that I shouldn't even be worried about. But he's telling Timothy, Timothy, I've been there. Now you listen, you don't have to make the identical mistakes that I get some good out of what's happened to me, son. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. In other words, you know, Primitive Baptist preachers use an excuse sometimes. I know that shocks you, but it happens. We get up sometimes and we try to preach and we don't have any liberty to preach. There's a reason we didn't have any liberty, isn't it? God didn't call a man to preach and then send him out to preach and then put a wall between him and the ability to preach. But a lot of time we use, well, I just didn't have any liberty. Well, why? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. And doctrine. For the time will come when they'll not endure that. He didn't have to wait long, did he? They won't want sound doctrine. And when I say they, I use that without saying it too loud. You say, well, that don't worry about me, you know, I'm all for this sound doctrine, you know. I'm not out here advocating a salvation by works as is advocated a lot. Well, there's a lot more than that to the doctrine, isn't there? But they won't endure. But after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou, be careful, watch, listen, be diligent. Watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. To who? We don't have to prove anything to God, do we? But we need to. There needs to be some proof, my friend, to the people in the church. There needs to be some proof to that individual there needs to be, used to, it was almost expected for a preacher when he got up to first spend half his time telling people that he had no business being there. He should have stayed at home. Well, maybe that was the truth, most truth he preached that day. If he really felt that way, why didn't he stay home? You know, sometimes we say things that we know is not right. And then Paul addresses an issue with Timothy. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. You know, I can't help but admire how Paul is approaching it. And remember, he's talking to this young man that just in a few years is going to be in the same position he's in. But between those times, he needs to know that this time is coming. And he needs to know, my friend, what to expect as much as can be expected before it comes. I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. What did Paul mean? That I've done everything I was supposed to? No. But he stood and he preached the gospel, and he behaved himself generally in a godly manner, and he didn't let the things that was happening to him personally become so obsessive to him until he just throwed up his hands and said, "All right, you got it. I'm not putting up this foolishness anymore. Y'all don't like me." He just got through saying, "All them Asians turned against me. You don't hear me? Fine. I'm through with you. You got it. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." You see, Paul knew. He rejoiced. He drew strength from knowing that whatever happens to me at Rome or wherever, how the church people react to me, if they get where they don't believe, they don't want to hear, whatever happened, this fact is supreme. And he said, I know that. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me. And by the way, he did. He talks about some of those who had departed from that he thought, and they thought they were good, sound people in the gospel and dedicated, and that's just going to be there always with him. Demas is a good example. I think Demas really thought that and felt that way to a point. But at some point, my friend, the enemy got to him. Do thy diligence come to me shortly. I'd like to read you the last two verses of 2 Timothy, and I'll close with that. Again, he said, "Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, Prudence, Linus, Claudius, and all the brethren." Obviously, at that time, Paul's in prison, and there was a great company there with him. Listen to how he ends his communication to Timothy in this written manner. "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Unselfish to the end. He's in prison. He knows it's the end. A lot of those he had counted as friends had turned against him. And what's he thinking about? He's not saying, well, you know, I don't know where Brother so-and-so, I would have thought that he'd have been here with me at this time. But he says, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Unselfish. Unselfish to the end. May God help us to be that way. You know, the end, there's a lot of good things about when this life ends. Paul could address a lot of things. He could talk about those who had done him wrong. He could have spent a lot of time talking about things that were not a way he maybe would like to be. But he's thinking about something, my friend, that's right. There's some things that are right. There's some things that are right in this world. Dwell on these things. That's what he's telling Timothy. Consider these things. Talk about these things. Don't spend all of your time sitting and talking about how wicked Rome is. Don't spend all of your time talking about the world and everything that's wrong in it. Consider these things. God's people don't need to hear all these things. They don't need to know all these things. Unselfish to them. You know, he had a good example for that, didn't he? It went way beyond Paul. May God help us. Thank you.